Pesachim, Perek Vav, Mishnah Beis, 6-2. This Mishnah follows directly on the heels of the previous. In the previous Mishnah, we had discussed the question of whether one could do an Isser Derabanan to enable him to fulfill his obligation of bringing the Korban Pesach, if that Isser Derabanan was a shvus, a prohibition, a rabbinic prohibition of breaking Shabbos, to enable one to do his Korban Pesach on Erev Shabbos. So, for example, may one bring the Korban Pesach in from beyond the Tchum, from extending beyond 2,000 amos past, we could have normally taken it, so that he'll have an animal on the 14th of Nisan on Shabbos. And the previous Mishnah said, no, you may not. While you could do the Doraisa things that are required from Shechit and onwards, to do something that you could have done beforehand, like ready your animal beforehand, you simply can't do, even if it's only forbidden Midurabanan. Now, on that, Rabbi Eliezer had disagreed, because his position is that any mitzvah that's Doche Shabbos, like, for example, doing a bris milah on the eighth day, meaning Bizmano in the proper time, which happened to fall on Shabbos, just as you can do the bris milah, because it pushes off Shabbos, so too could you do any preparatory act, even an Isser D'Oraisa, to enable you to do that mitzvah on Shabbos. So, for example, with coming to the bris milah, you could chop down a tree, which is an Isser D'Oraisa, so that you could make charcoal, so you could forge the metal to make the knife to do the bris milah. Rabbi Eliezer says that's all fine. And the Chum reject all that, even the Durabanans. Now, notwithstanding the fact that that's Rabbi Eliezer's shita across the board, here in our Mishnah, he's going to try to convince the Chachamim that even according to them, meaning even if you ignore the principle, or you don't accept the principle, that one could do an Isser D'Oraisa, that's a Hechsher, that's a preparatory act for the sake of doing a mitzvah on Shabbos, at least you should do Isser D'Rabbanan, because those are, of course, just rabbinic in nature. And if you can do a D'Oraisa, like, for example, shechting an animal on Pesach, which is an Isser D'Oraisa normally, so for sure you should be able to bring the animal in from beyond the Tchum, which is just an Isser D'Rabbanan. And so, although Rabbi Eliezer, he doesn't need that Kol V'Chomer, he doesn't need that logic, because he has the basic principle that you can always do anything, even a D'Oraisa, he tries to convince here the rabbis that at least they should be lenient regarding rabbinic issues that were enumerated in the previous Mishnah, such as the bringing in of the animal on his shoulders, carrying it on Shabbos, or bringing it in from on the Tchum, or cutting off its wart in an unusual way. And now you see why in the previous Mishnah, the Bar Tanura wanted to establish all three of those things to be rabbinic prohibitions in nature, even though, for example, the principle of Chai Nosetz Atzmo, the principle of carrying an animal and saying you're not Chai of even Rosh Hashanah for carrying an animal because the animal partially carries itself, although conventional halacha is that that only applies to human beings that bear their own weight, but the Bar Tanura wanted to include also animals, the shita derabanan, that it's the shita that it's only derabanan even for animals, because he wants it to be a list in the previous Mishnah of examples of rabbinic violations. So now here the Mishnah says, Eilu devarim, excuse me, it's Perek Vav Mishnah Beis. I'm Rabbi Eliezer said, Valo dinhu. He tries to prevail on the Chachamim by saying it's logical that one should be able to carry the Korban Pesach in from beyond the Tchum, etc., doing those Issei D'Rabbanan, because Ma im Shechita Shei Mishum Melacha, when it comes to the actual slaughtering of the animal, which is an Isser D'Oraisa on Shabbos, and yet the Torah says you may do that. Why does the Torah say that? Because, as we said, the Pasuk says that the Korban Pesach has to be brought B'mo'ado, in its proper time, like the Torah says that the Korban Tamid must be brought Mo'ado in its proper time. And the Gezer Shava says, just as the Mo'ado, its proper time for the daily offering, teaches you even if it's on a Shabbos. So we say that also the Mo'ado, referring to the Korban Pesach, tells you that it should be brought even at its proper time in the 4th of Nisan, even on if it falls out on a Shabbos. So, Ma'im Shechita Shimashim Malach Adochas Shabbos, even Shechita, which is, you see that Shechita, which is a D'Oraisa, and yet it supersedes the rules of offering your Korban Pesach and shechting it, supersedes the rule of Shmir Shabbos, and therefore you shecht it even though it's Shabbos. Elu, those items listed in the previous Mishnah, like for example, the Durabanans, like for example, the three listed were carrying it on your shoulders in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, or carrying it from beyond the Tchum, or removing its yabelis, its warts, in a unusual way, like with your fingernails, etc. Shehen Mishum Shvus, those are only restricted rabbinically. Midoraisa, one would be allowed to do those things. Lo Yidchu Es HaShabbos, isn't it eminently logical that the Torah that the din should be, the rule should be, that one is permitted to do those Isuri Derabbanan on Shabbos to ensure he fulfills the obligation of bringing his Korban Pesach B'modo in its proper time. So, again, just one more time, that means Rabbi Elazar is arguing to them, even though he doesn't need this Kol V'chomer. So responding to that, Amar lo Rabbi Yeshua, who is the Bar Plugta, the typical person who argues with Rabbi Eliezer, he responds and says, Yom Tov Yochiach. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, you can get a proof from, bring a proof from the halachas of Yom Tov that your logic is not sound. It rejects, you can reject that Kol V'chomer, because how? Because everyone knows that when it comes to Yom Tov, one may not do malacha, just like Shabbos. However, on Yom Tov, things that are called tzarche ochel nefesh, things that you need, everyone needs, like for eating, on Yom Tov is permitted, as the pasuk says, "Ach asher ye'achal chol nefesh hu levado ya'ase lechem." To provide food for people on Yom Tov, one may do, for example, one may shecht an animal on Yom Tov to enable ready food to eat on Yom Tov. So Rabbi Yehoshua says you can see from the halachas of Yom Tov that your Kol V'chomer, Rabbi Eliezer, doesn't apply. Because on Yom Tov, you're allowed to shecht an animal, and that's going to be okay, even though normally shechting is forbidden, but for the sake of having food, it's permitted. And yet, you can't do Isuri Durabana that could have been done before Yom Tov, meaning you can't bring an animal in from beyond the Tchum so that you can shecht and eat on Yom Tov. So you see that it doesn't follow just because you can that a Isur D'oraisa is pushed off, like Shechita for Yom Tov, that the Durabana will be pushed off, because, for example, bringing in from beyond the Tchum isn't pushed off on Yom Tov. That's what he says inside. Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Yom Tov Yechiach, those halachas of Yom Tov will prove that your argument is fallacious, because Shehitiru Vo Bishum Malacha, they permitted doing malachas on Yom Tov, for the purpose of Tzarchi Ochel Nefesh, v'asru vo mishum shvus, and nevertheless, they maintain that the rabbinic prohibitions stay in place. Like, for example, you can't bring your animal in from afar, breaking Isur D'Rabbanan of Trum, in order to shecht it. So you see, we can reject your logic, Rabbi Eliezer, that just because D'Oraisa is permitted means that D'Rabbanan is permitted as well. And it seems exactly analogous to the case of the Korban Pesach. You can shecht the Pesach, but you can't bring it from a distance. You can shecht an animal for food on Yom Tov, but you can't bring it from a distance. Amar lo Rabbi Eliezer. Now Rabbi Eliezer responds back to Rabbi Yeshua. Maze Yeshua. Yeshua, meaning Rabbi Yeshua, what in the world are you talking about? Ma raya reshus le mitzvah. How could you possibly think that you could bring a proof, or really a disproof, from Yom Tov, when that is a reshus, it's a voluntary. No one said you have to eat food on Yom Tov. So how could you bring that as an analogy to the obligation that you must bring the Korban Pesach? And that would be a compelling reason why you should relax even Isuri D'Rabbanan if one would otherwise not be able to fulfill his obligation mid-Oraisa. Now, of course, Rabbi Yeshua was no dope. He certainly would have seen that coming. The thing is that Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer have a different machlokus, a very fundamental machlokus, on the nature of Simchas Yom Tov, on if there is indeed a mitzvah, let's call it, to eat meat on Yom Tov. This, the backstory on that for just a moment is that when it talks about the seventh day of Pesach, the pasuk says, Atzeres Lashem Elokecha, it'll be a holiday for God. That's the seventh day of Pesach. But when it comes to Shmini Atzeres, that's like, I'll call it the eighth day of Zman Simchasenu, like the day after Pesach, the pasuk there says, Atzeres Tiyeh Lachem, it will be a holiday for you, the people, as opposed to, in contrast with to Hashem by the seventh day of Pesach. So are the Jewish holidays for Hashem or for us? So that seems to be a contradiction. And to resolve that contradiction, they have two approaches. According to Rabbi Eliezer, he understands that people have options. If they want to dedicate their entire Yom Tov to Hashem, they're permitted to do so. And if they want to indulge in it themselves and eat and drink, etc., they're permitted to do so. It's a reshus. And that being the case, there's no mandate to, let's say, eat meat on Yom Tov. However, Rabbi Yeshua says no. He understands that the tension between the two psukim, saying sometimes that saying that the holiday is for us and for him, Hashem, is that it's chetzio l'Hashem and chetzio l'chem. Half of Yom Tov, meaning part of Yom Tov, is dedicated to Hashem. There's all sorts of requirements for davening and learning, whatever. And there's also chetzio l'chem. There's also components of the Yom Tov which are obligatory for you to enjoy. Simchas Yom Tov, eating meat, let's just simplify it, it's called that, is an obligation to rejoice on Yom Tov. And that being the case, Rabbi Yeshua held that the eating of food and the slaughtering of the animal to have food to eat on, fresh food to eat on Yom Tov is a mitzvah. And therefore, it is a perfect analogy to the Korban Pesach, the same way you have a mitzvah to eat this animal, either on Yom Tov or offer this animal in the case of the Korban Pesach, and therefore we're letting you shecht it, both on Yom Tov and on Erev Pesach. We are not letting you bring it in from beyond the Tchum, for example, doing this to Rabbanan, in either scenario, says Rabbi Yeshua. So it's a perfect setup. But Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with that because he held that anyways, Simchas Yom Tov is just a Rishus, so it wouldn't be an applicable objection. So that means that according to Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Eliezer has not got a good proof. So Rabbi Eliezer, but according to Rabbi Eliezer, his logic should still stand. So now Rabbi Akiva is going to respond. Rabbi Akiva, for the record, was a student of these two men, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. And actually, it's important to know he's from Rabbi Eliezer's student, because that's part of the story here. So Rabbi Akiva responds to his teacher. Heishu Rabbi Akiva v'amar. Rabbi Akiva said a new approach to prove, to reject Rabbi Eliezer's contention that you should be able to violate Isurei Derabbanan to bring Korban Pesach. Rabbi Akiva says, Hazaa tochiach. You can prove it from the laws that apply to the sprinkling of the mechatas, that para aduma, the red heifer water, should the seventh day of one's tahara cleansing process fall out on Erev Pesach. So just here's the backstory. Backstory is, if a person becomes tamei, he can't bring korbanos and he can't participate in the Korban Pesach. If a person gets exposed to a corpse one way or another, he's tamei, and therefore would make him not able to participate. If one becomes tamei through exposure to a corpse, so that's a seven-day process, and the tahara from that seven-day process includes both sprinkling of this mechatas, the paradum water, on the third day of seven, as well as the seventh day of seven, followed by going to the mikvah, and then a person will be tamei for the rest of that day, meaning on Erev Pesach he'll still be tamei, but once you have nightfall, and it's like Leila Seder, the 15th of Nisan, so now he will still no longer be what's called Tevul Yom, and having any vestige of Tumah, and he'll be able to participate at the Pesach Seder, eat the Korban Pesach, etc. So the question is, therefore a person is going to have a mitzvah on the seventh day of his Tahara process, should it fall out on the 14th of Nisan and be a Shabbos, the person's going to have a mitzvah to do the sprinklings, which would a mitzvah because that enables him to become tahor and participate in the Korban Pesach. The question is, may one do that sprinkling on the 14th of Nisan if it falls out on a Shabbos? And the answer is no, one may not. And that's going to be a given. Now, how is it a given? Rabbi Akiva learned this from his Rabbi, Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer apparently has forgotten, the Gemara speaks this out, had forgotten this halacha. But Rabbi Akiva brings it to the fore, and he does it in a finessed way, so not sort of stick it to Rabbi Eliezer, since Rabbi Eliezer had taught it to him, and basically just says, listen, we have a data point. Data point is that you can't do hazaah, the sprinkling of the mechatas, on Shabbos, even if Shabbos falls out on the seventh day of one's tahara process on Erev Pesach, meaning if you don't do the hazaah, this person will not participate in the Korban Pesach. But the din is too bad, you can't. Now, why can't you do hazaah, the sprinkling on Shabbos? So the Bar Tanura brings the shita of Rava. It's actually machlokas between Rava and Rabba in the Gemara. According to Rava, like the Bar Tanura speaks out, the issue is it's mechsik masakin, and it looks like you're fixing the person up. We kind of had the thought of applying blood looking like you're fixing something up, and we talked about it other times about the tithing, fixing the food up, etc. So here we would say that sprinkling on the person looks like you're fixing him up to make him tahor. And that's why you can't do it midrabanan. According to Rabba, a different pshat in the Gemara, it's because rabbis forbade sprinkling on the Shabbos because they were concerned people would come to carry the mechatas that paradum water in the Rishus Aram in order to become tahor. Meaning the same way you have a mitzvah to shake a lulav on the first day of Sukkot, and you have a mitzvah to blow a shofar on Rosh Hashanah. But in the event that it's a Shabbos, the rabbi said, even though there's a mitzvah, we're not blowing shofars on Shabbos, we're not shaking lulav on Shabbos, because we're concerned people will carry the shofar and lulav on Shabbos. So too, you may have a mitzvah to be matar yourself on the seventh day of your tahara process, but we're not letting people do tahara, because it means somebody somewhere in some generation might come to carry the mechatas, that paraduma water, in Rosh Hashanah. That's Rabba's approach. Either way, the point is that given data point, it's forbidden to do haza'ah on Shabbos, even if it means a person won't be able to come Torah and able to participate in the Korban Pesach. So that being the case, you have a clear example of an Isra Durabanan, which is forbidden, even though it means one couldn't participate in the Korban Pesach. And that will be the data point that Rabbi Akiva brings to bear here, in order to show Rabbi Lezer that his logic is not compelling, it's not true necessarily. Here's what he says. Heishiv Rabbi Akiva va'amar. Rabbi Akiva responds to Rabbi Lezer, and he says, Haza tochiach, the rules, the halacha, the prohibition against sprinkling on the seventh day in Shabbos will show you. Shehi mitzvah, first of all, it's a mitzvah to do the sprinkling. Vi mishum shvus, and nevertheless, it's forbidden midrabanan through the sprinkling on the seventh day on Shabbos, even if that would mean now that you can't participate in the Korban Pesach. Venadoches is Shabbos, it doesn't push off Shabbos, so you see a clear precedent that you don't break Isurei derabanan for the sake of bringing the Korban Pesach. Af'ata al tisma al elu. And therefore, says Rabbi Kiva, you shouldn't be surprised at the list from the preceding Mishnah, that you can't do other Isurei derabanan, like carrying the animal on your shoulders, bringing from beyond tchum, cutting off the wart, etc. Sha'af al pi shehen mitzvah. Even though those are mitzvahs to do, meaning if you don't bring the animal in, you won't be able to bring your offering, etc. Vehen mishum shvus, and they're only asar midurabanan, as you described before. Nevertheless, lo yidchu es Shabbos, the rabbis did not permit the doing them on Shabbos, meaning we keep the derabanans and we don't do them, clearly rejecting Rabbi Eliezer's logic. Amar lo Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer responds back to Rabbi Kiva and he says, va'aleha anidan. He says, that's the very point I'm talking about. I'm trying to bring you a proof that you could do things like haza'ah, which are only Isurei derabanan, in order to enable you to do your Korban Pesach. So this is like a bit of, these are my words, of course, an awkward moment for Rabbi Kiva, because Rabbi Kiva only learned the halacha of haza'ah being forbidden from Rabbi Eliezer. And yet Rabbi Eliezer seems to have forgotten that. And he says, I'm trying to argue that you could do it. So Rabbi Akiva is going to be forced in a minute to take a nuanced tact. We'll see in a moment. So this is Rabbi Eliezer's then contention, which is just as you can do the shechita, you should be able to do the haza. Uma im shechita shi mishum malacha. Slaughtering an animal is an isra doraisa, and docha is a Shabbos. And yet you could slaughter the animal on the 14th of Nisan in order to bring a korban pesach. Haza shi mishum shvus. The sprinkling of the mechatas waters, which is only asr medurabon, enodin shedochet shabbos. I'm trying to tell you, it stands to reason you should be able to do the hazah, notwithstanding the isr medurabon, and do it so a person could do his korban pesach in the proper time. But moado, amlo Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, listen, we have two data points. We know that, and one of them, I'm going to focus in here for a second, is that you cannot do hazah. So if that's true, so then perhaps you could, Rabbi Akiva, in an attempt to sort of show the spurious nature of Rabbi Eliezer's argument, he says, maybe, Amar Rabbi Akiva, ochilof, maybe it's just the opposite. Maybe we'll learn from the fact that you cannot do hazah, that you for sure can't even do the shechita on Erev Pesach. Now, Rabbi Akiva knows that is false, because he understands that there's an obligation to do the shechita even if it's a Shabbos, but he's like focusing on the other given. There are two givens which are, you know, running afoul of each other, but he's focused on the given that you can't do the shechita to try to that you can't do the hazah to sort of remind and prompt Rabbi Eliezer to remember that he's the one who said that, and that would then bring him to realize that his logic is flawed. But as we'll see in a moment, Rabbi Eliezer doesn't get the hint. Amalo Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, O chilof, maybe the opposite's true. Maybe uma im hazah shehi mishum shfus, given that you can't do hazah on Shabbos and it's only a sermon to Rabbanan, and yet you cannot do the hazah, meaning you won't be able to participate in the Korban Pesach this year. Shchita shimush malacha, shechna animal itself, was even more severe. It's a doraisa. Eino din. Wouldn't it be logical to say shelo tidcha es haShabbos, that you shouldn't be able to do shchita at all and be mechal Shabbos in order to bring Korban Pesach? That's Rabbi Akiva's attempt to sort of make Rabbi Lezer realize, but he doesn't realize. And therefore, Rabbi Lezer says, what you're saying, Rabbi Akiva, actually makes no sense at all. Amar lo Rabbi Akiva, Amar lo Rabbi Eliezer, Akiva, akar tamasha kasa b'Torah. You've totally undermined what the Torah said, I don't call it explicitly, but pretty explicitly with the Gzera Shava. It says, Bein ha'arbaim, on the afternoon of that 14th day, on Erev Pesach, you have to bring in Korban Pesach, b'mo'ado, in its proper time. And we just finished saying in the beginning of this Mishnah, mo'ado tells you it has to be brought on the 14th, even if it's Shabbos. So you do shecht it. Bein b'chol, bein b'shabbos. Doesn't matter if the 14th falls out on a regular weekday or even on Shabbos, you have to bring it. So the shechita is required. So don't try to tell me you can't do the shechita. So Amar Rabbi Akiva, haveli mo'ad le'elu kamo l'shechita. Rabbi Akiva says, yeah, the thing is that everything has its proper time, and that's what's to understand from this psukim and the resolution of this tension between no haza and yeshchita. Everything has its proper time. Klal Amar Rabbi Akiva, meaning what has the proper time, the shechita has a proper time on the 14th, and the bring of the animal, etc., has a proper time before Shabbos. Kol Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says this is the guiding principle. Kol malacha she'efshal aso sel me'erev Shabbos. Any malacha that you could do before Shabbos comes in, eino doches Shabbos. That would not push off Shabbos. That would apply here in our context of things like bringing the animal or cutting off the wart. It would apply back in, Rabbi Akiva says it over there, it would apply back in the 19th parak of Shabbos with the Bris Milah. You can't start cutting down trees because you could have cut down the tree and gotten the knife before Shabbos. And so on and so forth. That's the rule. And same goes in Yom Tov. You can't bring the animal in, even though you could shecht it, because you could have brought it in from before Yom Tov, etc. Shechita she'ev shalal so samer of Shabbos. But as for the shecht the animal itself and all the steps there afterwards, since you certainly cannot shecht it on the 13th, you did it before Shabbos, meaning before the 14th of Nisan, you wouldn't do the mitzvah, it's not mo'ado. Those things, and only those things, docha es Shabbos. Those are the things that push up Shabbos, and that's the halacha. So halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, and indeed halacha is not like Rabbi Eliezer, that while one may do shechita, etc. on the Korban Pesach, one can't do any issur d'rabbanan, even if it means he won't be able to do his Korban Pesach, because he should have arranged things from before Pesach, from before Shabbos.